to Balance Point, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, and we will begin after a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have in your word today. We ask, Father God, that our hearts would be soft and ready to receive the seed of your word. Father God, I ask that today, especially as we study your word on the call of Abram, that we would recognize the call that you have placed on each and every one of our lives. Father God, we just bless you, we honor you, and we give you praise. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen. We pray that you have had a blessed and marvelous week wherever you may happen to be in the Balance Point family on God's glorious earth. And today we are going to be continuing in our study of the life of Abraham. And this is actually part two of kind of a two-part series on climbing or camping. And today we're going to look at specifically the call of Abram. And we are in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. I want to notice several things before we get too much further into our text. The first thing that we want to notice is that the call of God is from the known to the unknown. Watch this. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house. The broad call was for Abram to step forth from his country of origin. And when God calls us, God doesn't call the super holy. God doesn't call the super saint. How can I know that? Because Abram was called from his country. And we found in our last study that Abram was called from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, what we today would call Iraq. And from a few studies ago, we know a little something about the culture and the religious scene in Ur of the Chaldeans. We know that this was the land of Nimrod. And one of the legacies of Nimrod is we have the worship of Semiramis and the worship at Tammuz, the worship of the Queen of Heaven. Out of these worship forms, many of, dare I say, traditions that we have even today can be traced all the way back to the land of Shinar, to the town of Babylon. The idea of the worship of the Queen of Heaven, the worship of Semiramis, the idea of the worship of Tammuz at the winter solstice of his death and resurrection, as was celebrated by the burning of a Yule log and that Yule log being replaced with a trimmed tree. We find that most of the systems of false worship that are even still with us today, even within certain Christian traditions, that the Christian church looked at this form of worship and said we needed to Christianize it, as what was happening in the second and third and fourth centuries of the Roman Empire. We find vestiges of those forms of worship even now. And so the life that Abram was called out of, the culture of Abram that Abram was called out of, was this culture of false worship. Now, we don't know for sure, because the Bible doesn't tell us, whether or not Abram's family participated in these forms of false worship. But what we do know is that he was surrounded by them. Just as today we are surrounded by many forms and many types of worship that do not honor the true and living God. And so Abram was called out of the familiar. He was called out of his country. He was just a regular dude living a regular life in a regular country. Which brings me to kind of my second point. And that is that God doesn't call super saints. When we Christians talk about calling, often we talk about a pastor being called. We often talk about a missionary being called. But the reality is that everyone is called. In the New Testament, Jesus puts it this way: many are called, but few are chosen. Does that mean that God calls many, but he only chooses a few? No, God calls everyone, but only a few choose to be chosen. Let me repeat that. God calls everyone, but only a few choose to be chosen. God calls ordinary people. God calls some from the highest of heights, the royalty, the aristocrat, the plutocrat, the high and mighty. And God also calls the homeless one that's out on the street. God calls the powerful leaders. And God also calls the prisoner. It doesn't matter who you are, who I am, or where we are, God calls us out. And he calls us from the culture that we're part of. Notice it says, now God said to Abram, go forth from your country. God's call is always a call from what we know. It's a call of separation. It's not a call to be weird. It's not a call to be janky. But it's always a call of separation. It's a call from those things that are out of alignment with God's will. There are elements of every culture, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, that do not align with the will of God. And it's actually, we should notice something else about this call of Abram. It's a call from his country, from his relatives, and from his father's house. Each of those things that Abram was called out of, each of those things that we're called out of, get closer and closer to the things that we hold dear. It's fairly easy to reject the parts of one's culture, or relatively easy, to reject the parts of one's culture that don't align with God. It's a little bit more difficult when it's your relative. We might translate it as our community. Go forth out of your community. Go forth from your community. Community is a little bit more difficult because a country we don't have a choice of where we're born. We don't have a choice of our culture. We do have a choice of our community. In fact, even to some extent, while we may be born into a family, we may be closer to some family than other family. And that comprises our relatives, our close community. And last but not least, Abram was called from his father's house. Those are our closest relations. Those are the relations that have the most influence over us. And those are the hardest to separate from. The New Testament puts it this way. Jesus puts it this way. Unless a person hates his father and mother, his sister and brother, his wife and children, he cannot be my disciple. Now that doesn't mean that we despise those that are around us. Rather, it means that in the scale, in the hierarchy of importance, our relationship with God comes over and above our relationship with anyone else. So the first thing we notice is God calls ordinary people. The second thing we notice is that God calls us from what we know. The next thing I want us to notice is that God doesn't just call us out and leave us hanging, but God calls us into, backing up. And now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. I am actually missing part of my text. And go to a land that I will show you. The next thing that we notice about God's calling on us is that it's from one place, from one state rather, and into a new state. Leave the place that you know and go to a place that you don't know. The second thing that we note about God's calling upon our lives is that God's calling is into the unknown. God doesn't necessarily tell us about the place that we're going. But before we get too far into that, I want you to notice that the text says that to a land, to a country that I will show you. God's calling is never a blind calling. Notice that it doesn't say, leave your country and go over yonder, and I'll meet you there. No, God's calling is always tied to God's presence. How can God show us the land unless he's going with us? Often today you will hear it said, oh yeah, that Christianity, it requires you to make a blind leap of faith. And while the step of faith is into the unknown, it's never blind because we have God showing us the way. God shows us the land. He may not show us every detail. And in fact, we know that God doesn't show us. For the psalmist tells us, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Want you to notice that his word, what does our passage say? Now God said, God spoke his word to Abram. God speaks his word to us. And his word becomes a lamp unto our feet. In other words, God's call is to take the next step. God's call is also a light unto the path. I want you to picture that as a light up on the hill. And so God's call gives us enough light to see the next step so we don't stumble. And God's call gives us enough direction So we know the general direction that we're headed. But one thing that God's call doesn't do is it doesn't give us every detail along the way. Because here's the deal, if God told us all the stuff that we'd have to go through in order to get to the place where he's taking us, none of us would ever leave. We would get bogged down into the paralysis of analysis. We would get bogged down into the what ifs, the what fors, the wherefores, the why twos, and the how is. No, God's call is a call of mercy. God's call is simply this. Leave where you're at and go where I will take you. Go to where I will show you. And why would God do this? Because God is a God of blessing. And God's call is always tied to a blessing. Watch this. Go to the land and I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. God's calling on our lives is always about making us bigger people. God's call on our lives is about making us into a person who can hold the blessings of God. But God's call to blessing is not so much about our comfort, but about what God can accomplish through us. You see, God's calling is about stretching us so that we have the flexibility. God's call is about strengthening us so we have the ability to carry the blessings that God has in store for us. Watch this. And I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Notice that the stretching comes before the blessing. Many of us have been going through stuff. Many of us have gone through stuff that at the time we were like, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why are you taking me through the land of fire? Why are you taking me through the valley of the shadow of death? And in the taking us through, God was stretching us to be a container of blessing. So God's call is from the familiar to the unfamiliar. God's call is for everyone. God has a calling on every person. God's calling is to stretch us. God's calling is to bless us. The next thing that we find is another promise. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. God's calling is to make our name great. Now, I can already see the salivary glands going off right now. Woo, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to have a name. And it is true that in the case of Abram, think about this. Abram lived some nearly 4,000 years ago. And we're still talking about him. Abram lived some nearly 4,000 years ago. And there are two main strains of people in faith that come out of Abraham. The Jews and the Arabs. They trace their line back to Abram. And 4,000 years later, we're still talking about him. Did God fulfill the promise to Abram to make Abram's name great? I'd say yes. Three of the world's religions trace their roots back to Abram. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Think about that. But there's a promise that God will make our name great. Jesus told us that if we would confess him before men, he would confess us before the angels of God. I want you to think about what that is. He, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, the very God who incarnated and became man, said that he would confess us. He would lift our name before the angels. We're also promised that Jesus, who is our high priest, would make intercession on our behalf before the throne of God. I gotta tell you, my grandmother was one major prayer warrior. I honestly believe that she just had a direct hotline straight to the throne. But my grandmother's prayers are nothing compared to the Godhead praying amongst itself. We're also promised that the Holy Spirit, when we don't know how to pray, will make intercession for us. And let me ask you, which would you rather have? Would you rather have your name known by millions here on earth, or would you rather have your name known at the throne of the Creator of the earth? You see, when God calls us, he promises to stretch us, to bless us, and to make our name great. And why would God go through all of this? Here's the payoff. And so that you shall be a blessing. God calls us out. So that we might be brought into the land of blessing, into the place of blessing, so that we could get big and fat? No. God calls us into the land of blessing so that we might be a blessing to others. God may have called you out of prison so you might be a blessing to the prisoner. God may have called you out of drug abuse so you might be a blessing to the drug abuser. God may have called you out of wealth so you might be a blessing to the wealthy. God may have called you out of poverty so you might be a blessing to the poor. You see, God calls us out so that we might be stretched, so that we might be filled, so that we might be poured out. Paul wrote towards the end of his life that even now he was being poured out as a drink offering. We can't be poured out unless we're first filled up. And Jesus said, speaking to the disciples, and against the traditions of the Pharisees, "Do you not know that you don't pour new wine into old wineskins? For if you do, the wineskins will burst and be ruined and the wine lost. Jesus was speaking in earthly terms about a heavenly principle. You see, we can't pour the new wine of the presence of God into the wineskin of our old life. You see, we pick up things from our culture that cause us to form a stiffness of heart. We pick up things from our community that adds another layer of stiffness of heart. We pick up things from our family, things that make us comfortable, that again bring about a stiffness of our heart. And God has to call us away from those things so that God can massage the oil of the Holy Spirit into our heart, so that God might soak us in the water of his word. And by the way, there was a way in order to take an old wineskin and make it so you could pour new wine into it without bursting the wineskin. And the way that you would do it is you would soak the wineskin in water. And you would soak it in water. And as you would soak it in water, the water would leach out the things that made that wineskin old and tough. And you pour out the water. And you get more water and you put the wineskin back in the water. And more of the stuff that would make that wineskin old and tough would be soaked out. And you do that over and over again. Eventually, you could pour new wine into the old wineskin. But for that to work, the old wine had to be poured out. The old wine had to be called out. And the skin had to be soaked in the water. For us to be stretched, we need to be soaked in the water of the word. Our hearts need to be first replaced. The book of Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking of the wickedness of man's heart, said, "The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who could know it?" And another prophet said, "The day is coming when I will remove their heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh." The Lord said to you and to me, come out of your nation. Come away from your relatives. Come out of your family. Come to the place that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will stretch you. I will stretch your heart. Oh God, that you would stretch our hearts. Oh God, that you would soak our hearts and you would stretch them so that you might bless us. Father, that you would stretch our hearts, that you would fill our hearts with the very blood of Jesus, so that our hearts might beat with compassion to the lost world, so that we might be a blessing. We're called out to be stretched, to be blessed and to be a blessing. But we need to be careful about our calling. Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. Abraham was obedient. And Lot went with them. Lot was the nephew of Abram. See, here's the thing about God's calling. God's calling to each of us is an individual calling. The calling that God has placed on my life is not going to look like the calling that God's placed on your life. The calling that God's placed on your life is not going to look like the calling that God's placed on your brother, or your sister, or your mother. Our calling is individual. Our blessing is individual. But often, as we embark on the calling of God, as we start moving in that direction, there will be those who will come with us. There will be those that we take along who don't have a part in the specific calling that God has given us. And there we need to be careful, because they can become a snare. They can become a weight. We're going to see that over the next few chapters with Abram's nephew Lot. And it doesn't mean that they are bad people. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have something special for them. But they can become a hindrance to the purpose that God has for you, to the purpose that God has for me. And so we need to be careful that we don't take people along with us that don't have a part in the calling. It doesn't mean that we don't love them. It doesn't mean that we shun them. But rather it means that we are aware enough of our own calling that we can separate them from that calling that God has placed on us, and help them to bloom and help them to thrive in the calling that God has placed on them. We'll read in this passage that God promises that God would make Abram a blessing, and he would bless those that bless him, and that God would curse those that curse Abram. And that in Abram, all the nations would be blessed. You see, our calling is not just for us. Our calling is for the world. Our calling is for all of the nations to be around us to be blessed. Later, we'll read how God blessed Abram and multiplied him. And it got to the point where Abram was so blessed that the Canaanite nations that were around him came to him for a peace treaty. We'll read a little bit later that God so blessed Abram that Abram was able to have his own standing army and to use that standing army to rescue his nephew Lot and several of the kings that were taken captive in a battle. You see, God's plan for us is that we be positioned so that when trouble comes to the nations around us, when trouble comes to the neighbors around us, we're able to take action and to take back what the enemy tries to steal. You see, that's what it means to be called. That's what it means to leave, to be stretched and to be blessed. And my question to you is, are you ready to answer that call? Are you ready to hear the word of God speaking to you today? Maybe it's a habit that you need to leave behind. Maybe it's a relationship that you need to change and put on a different footing. Maybe you've already left, but you haven't necessarily gone in. Maybe you know that you need to leave, and in your mind and in your heart, you've left behind the things of the past, but you haven't stepped into the things of the present, the things of the future. And if that's you today, I'd like to invite you to heed the calling of God. Maybe you've wandered into the land of your promise, to your land of promise, but you haven't allowed God to make you a great nation yet. You haven't allowed God to stretch you. And today I challenge you to allow God to stretch you. Or maybe God's been stretching you and you have not allowed God to bless you. Maybe you've been stretched and God's ready to bless you, but you're saying, I don't deserve blessing. I'm lower than the underside of a worm. I challenge you to drop those things and open your hands and let God pour into your hands the blessing. And possibly God's been blessing you, but you've not allowed yourself to be poured out as a blessing. I challenge you today to fall at the cross and be emptied. And some of you are like, well, Dan, that's good stuff. That's great stuff. But you know what? I don't know that I even know the voice of God. Well, today you've been hearing God speaking. He's been calling you out of the country of sin. He's been calling you out of the country of death and decay, and calling you into the land of promise, the land of life. You see, each and every one of us is born into the land of sin. Each and every one of us is born with the propensity to sin, with the desire to sin. And that desire means that we cannot have fellowship with God. And so God said, you know what? I will make a way for you to have fellowship. I will send my only son to die on your behalf. And Jesus, as God, agreed with that plan. And he said, I will set aside my prerogatives as God. And I will lay down my life for you, for me. And so how do we step from the land of our birth and into the land of life? The same way Abram moved from Ur of the Chaldees and into the land of Canaan. He did it by trusting God. Word says that if we would confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God rose him from the dead, we shall be saved. Belief is nothing more than trust. Confession is nothing more than saying the same thing about ourselves that God has said about us. And God has said the following things about us. One, he loves us. If you make confession to God without first admitting that God loves you, it's only a partial confession. The God of heaven, the God that is almighty, the God that can do anything that he wants, loves you and he loves me. Two, we fall short, we make mistakes. And sometimes we do it intentionally. Three, because of those mistakes, we cannot be in the presence of Almighty God. And so four, a way had to be made. And that way was the death of Jesus on the cross. And five, it's a gift. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough for it. We just simply have to accept it. And so if you've never walked with the Lord Jesus, never trusted him, or maybe at one point you trusted him but you walked away, I want to invite you to hear the call of God and to step into the land that he's promised you. And we're going to do it by simply praying. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring enough about me that even though I do wrong things, even though I walk away from you, even though I am disobedient, you still made a way for me to have fellowship with you. And I thank you, Father God, that you put all of my sin upon Jesus on the cross. And I thank you that Jesus took the punishment that I rightfully deserve. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Father, I have nothing to offer to you. And I just ask that you would come and live in me. By the power of your Holy Spirit, live through me. So that my life might be pleasing to you. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. And even more, we would love to hear how God is using Balance Point in your life. And we would love for you to contact us. And there are multiple ways for you to contact us. You can contact us by email at our email address, staff@balance-point.org. You can message us on our Facebook page, Balance Point CC. You can message us through YouTube, Balance Point Church, and through Google Plus, Balance Point Church. Or you can send us a letter, and we really want to hear from you. We want to know what God is doing in your life through this ministry of Balance Point Church. And so you can mail us at 1998 East Oris, that's O-R-I-S Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222. We look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to praising God about the wonderful things that he is doing in your life. And now, receive the blessing of Almighty God. May the God of heaven and the Father of our Son, of our Lord Jesus Christ, bless you with all spiritual blessings. Call you out of the familiar and into the adventure of going into the land of promise. Stretch you so that you might be a vessel fitting for the blessings that he has. And finally, may he pour you out that you might be a blessing to others. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name above all names, Yeshua, our Messiah and King. Amen and amen. Until next time.